praise you, Lord God. Are you ready for word tonight? Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. We'll go to Hebrews 11 to begin with. I think I'm going to start with that verse. Hebrews 11. We've been on a teaching for some time about the purpose of the church today. In our first service we had in this building, it's now been almost 2 months. I think Sunday would be 2 months, won't it?
Yeah.
23rd, was
it? March 1st.
March 1st is the first one. Okay, so we've got a little bit, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We closed on the building.
Okay.
So, our first service we talked about the covenant of the church and that Jesus took those stripes to deliver us from anything that the church has hurt us in the past. And we started Tuesday nights looking at what's our purpose. I think so many churches don't know what their God-given purpose is, so they make one up. Well, we're here, you know, just to be a nice, happy family. We're here to do some good deeds. We're here to tell people about Jesus. That's all good, but what's God telling you you're supposed to do? And I started listing some of our assignments as a church. Do I need to read through these again? I have a list, but we're not giving them out until I'm done. We'll be reading ahead. So very quickly, just read through them again. We're to raise up a people to know God. That's the most important call we have on life, to introduce people to Jesus, to know Him themselves. To let people know you can hear God yourself and He will lead you into a high calling. Amen. Number two, to lead the members into holiness. A lot of people are preaching now that we're under grace and anything you do to try to cleanse your life, it just works. No, you're not working to get saved. You're working to represent Jesus. Amen. To carry an anointing. And God's anointing will not come on defiled vessels. At least not consistently. Number three, to stay on the leading edge of what God's saying to and releasing into the church in these end times. God's got a plan for the end times. Last night we had a Chariots of Light Zoom meeting with Bill Horn and presidents and leaders of Chariots of Light. And Bill has been on really since the end of last year, fourth quarter, on talking about the supernatural love of God. And I did it again last night. I couldn't keep my mouth shut. I had to speak on it. That, you know, we've made a mistake trying to confuse being nice and doing good deeds for supernatural love. And I said, Bill, you're right on track. This is what God's doing in the end times. You're right in line with God's plans for the end times, teaching on love. And so, we want to maintain a connection with God that we know His heartbeat for what He wants to do as a church and as a body, right? Number four, to teach in depth the revealed Word of God. Number five, to instruct the members of the church how to pray and effectively study the Word. I'm going to quit saying the numbers. I'm just going to read them. To lead the church in effectively interceding for the church, the nation, and the world, and for revival. We're going to be interceding, praying, church. Amen. What we're doing tonight. To guide the flock in manifesting the image of Jesus. To instruct the church how to live in the outpour blessing of God. That's one of our main assignments. That's one of the reasons God wants us here, is to teach people how to live in the blessing. We've been redeemed from the curse. We can live a blessed life. Talking about everything working in your life. Healing, finances coming, your family saved, joy and peace.
Yes.
Your high calling being fulfilled.
Yes.
To teach how to accurately manifest the gifts of the Spirit and the anointings of God. This came to me a while ago. I need to turn here. I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 10. This is just a bonus tonight. Isaiah 10, because here's a very important verse of Scripture. People want to say, well, what's the anointing? You talk about the anointing a lot. The word anointing means to smear on. In particular, to smear on the power of God, to rub on, to rub off. And it says in verse 27, Isaiah 10, 27, very important verse of Scripture. Highlight it, write it down, whatever you need to do. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. We've said this for years. The anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. It will set you free from anything the devil has got you in bondage to.
Yes.
If you build the anointing, if you just pursue God, ask for it. Amen. And it will stay on your life, it will reside on your life. Wherever you go, you can release it. I shared this with Patty the other night. Probably my number one person I listen to now that I really receive from is Lance Waldow. And have for years. And I met Lance about 2007, or before anybody knew who he was. And he was teaching, I was with Dan Stratton, he was teaching up in New Jersey, I think we were. New Jersey or Manhattan. And Lance shared something I've been practicing myself for some time. That he says, whenever I shake hands with somebody, I'm anointed. And I can release that anointing anytime. And if somebody shakes my hand, under my breath, I release anointing. That's what I do. I try to remember. I don't always remember to, but I try to remember. Just to get on with God. Let Him have an encounter with you.
Yes.
Let Him be refreshed by what's on me.
Yes.
Because we're called to be carriers of the burden-removing, yoke-destroying anointing of God. And one of our jobs is to teach people about the anointing. And most churches don't know about it. They don't know that there's power they can carry supernaturally that will transform lives. Whoever will receive, right? Next. To teach the body of Christ how to walk in the supernatural love of God and to lead them into the glory. That's our number one assignment. Our number one assignment of a church is trying to think how to word this. It's not natural in conflict. It's not to be the sweetest people around, although we are. That was some of you. It's not to build the biggest church, although I think we'll have one. It's to manifest the end time Shekinah glory of God. The tangible, concentrated, agape love of God. That manifests in the natural realm and changes lives everywhere you go. The glory of God. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus declared it would be on his end time bride. In fact, Paul would call us the glorious church, a glorious bride. Amen. That's our assignment. And so, I've been seeking God how to do it for years. Whatever he instructs me or us, we make an effort to step into it. To instruct the body, to bring in God's last day harvest of souls without compromising holiness or the integrity of the word. Why'd you put those last things in there? Because so many people are building a big church by compromising the word and moving into people pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
A political church more than an anointed church.
Yes.
An excusing church more than a holy church. And we're not going to compromise holiness or the integrity of the word. Amen.
Amen.
It says in Scripture, God says, the word says, unless the Lord build a house,
Yes. They
that build labor in vain.
Yes.
If God doesn't build us by the anointing and by the glory, I don't want it. I'm not after having another church. I'm not going to get to heaven and say, look at all those years you wasted doing your own thing. I want to hear good, well done, a good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. manifested my assignment for you, which for us is the glory. Of course, we've talked about the visions and the dreams and revelations God's brought to us. To instruct the body of Christ how to walk under God-given authority. To assemble a covenant body without strife, envy, jealousy, or with every office and position in the church filled with qualified and willing to serve members. A unified body walking in its fullness. It's part of our assignment. See, it's good to know what you're supposed to do, right?
Yes.
Now we have a list. To teach how to avoid deception, pride, and artificial religion. Man-made churchiosity. And last week we ended with this one. We spent the whole time on this one. To guide the body of how to overcome the flesh and the attacks of the enemy. People are not our enemy. The devil's our enemy, and your flesh is your enemy. You got to go to war against your own flesh. We are here to walk in the love of God, which means we can't afford to get caught up in divisive mentalities. Hate, resentment. Amen? And I've told people in this neighborhood already, you can disagree with me politically, but I'll still love you. Amen? Because that's my assignment, is to love people. Amen.
Yes.
Or disagree with me doctrinally. I'll still love you. And then this week, Hebrews chapter 11. Are you there? You can go back to it. I told you to turn to Isaiah and go back to Hebrews 11. God will speak through me tonight. Speak through all of us. Raise up anointed voices. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, please God. For he that cometh to God must believe, that's faith, that's the word for faith, must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It says we cannot please God without faith. What faith is the recognition, the revelation, and even the acting on that there's a kingdom that's higher than this one. That you've been given exceeding great and precious promises, that by through those you can be partakers of God's divine nature, His heavenly calling, right? And so part of our assignment is, a high level of our assignment is to teach faith and other principles of the kingdom of God. Now again, we've taught on this a lot of late. I finished the book last year, about a year ago. I finished the book, Spiritual Principles of the Kingdom of Heaven. And we discovered this. Everything in the natural world works by laws of physics. I love the study of physics in school. Wasn't as good as Charles, but I love the study. He's on another realm. But I love finding out that everything can be calculated. It's going on. There's physics laws in motion. We can. I know engineers that believe in the flat earth. It violates every law of physics, every instruction of physics we ever learned regarding gravitation and everything else. And engineers believe it. Anyway. Gravity is a principle. There's laws of electricity, laws of heat conduction and thermodynamics, laws of motion and force. Everything works by different physics laws. Amen?
Yes.
And by learning these laws and applying them, we can build airplanes that are safe to fly in, cars that are safe to drive in. I mean, systems, the internet. All works by laws of physics. And what we discovered is this realm we live in was created out of a higher realm.
Yes.
The natural was produced out of the supernatural In the beginning, God spoke and made all of this, including the whole universe. That was birthed out of that in the beginning God created.
Yes.
And we discovered that if physics laws govern this natural world, then there must be laws that govern the higher realm as well.
Amen.
God's not wishy-washy, just, well, whatever floats out there will happen.
Right.
He's got laws in place. Tithing is a spiritual principle. He says in the Word, you'll pray out a blessing, you can't contain it. You'll rebuke the devourer. Mm-hmm. You follow?
Yes.
Open the windows of heaven to us, which is to pour our revelation through. And we've discovered sowing and reaping is a principle. God's not mocked. Whatever you sow, you reap. Seed produced after its own kind. Spiritual principle. And everything in the kingdom of heaven works by spiritual physics laws. You follow me? Some parallel to natural, but they're at a high level. And by learning the laws of the kingdom, which faith is one of the prime ones, we can get heavenly results. And see, I have to camp out here for a few minutes, just as a refresher. I've been doing this pastoring thing for a while now. I've now pastored twice as long as I did engineering. I thought I was an engineer for a long time. And I've noticed a lot of people, most of the church believes in prayer, but they never see them answered. They're praying God would heal them, or God would prosper them, or God would deliver somebody, or whatever. And they rarely see it happen. Talk about the church out there. But we discover they're praying things, Lord, if it be thy will. They're saying things, well, sometimes God answers first, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes yes, no, or maybe. If there's a promise in this Bible that God gives to us, he said, all my promises are yes and amen, they're guaranteed.
Yes.
So what happens is somebody comes up with a prayer line and I say, what do you want? Well, I'm hoping God will heal me. Well, you're not in faith. You're hoping something will happen. Do you follow me? Faith is knowing it's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Believing it's available and it's guaranteed. And if we'll believe, we'll receive it.
Amen.
So believing the seed you sow is going to be multiplied back to you.
Yes.
Right? It's believing. This is one of the most bizarre ones people have trouble with. That there's power in our words. The death of life is in the power of the tongue.
Yes.
So people come up saying things like, well, you pray for them, the anointing is released. I say, what's going to happen now? Well, I hope I'm healed. No, you're violating spiritual principles. Faith is a principle that you have to follow the dictates of it. You work the word till you believe it. You speak the word. You follow and release your authority in what God's promised. And you stand until it manifests. Speak, act, stand. And you are in charge of what you do with your faith. And so many people don't want the personal responsibility of having a building faith. And they'd rather blame God for their prayers not being answered versus themselves. I'm going to say something. Some people don't like it. You'll love it because I know you love the word, right? But maybe somebody listening to the message. If your prayers aren't being answered, it's your fault. Amen?
Yeah. Yes.
Because you're either praying wrong, praying the wrong thing. Who was it said, James? Your prayers aren't even answered because you want to spit it on your own lusts. You ask them, have not. But you're asking wrong, or you're not asking in faith. You follow me? You're not standing, whatever it is. You're violating the spiritual principles. God's promises are guaranteed.
Yes.
And if we will do it according to spiritual principles, we'll get spiritual results. And we have a church full of people that have been testifying about that. Of God's miracle healing power in their life and prospering, you know, when it looked impossible, delivering when it seemed like you couldn't get free.
Yes.
Working the word with knowledge. Jesus said this, He said, my people are destroyed because they don't go to church often enough. Is that what it says? My people are destroyed because, you know, trying to think of the right thing. They're voting for the wrong person in office. What's it say? Lack of knowledge. Ignorance will kill you. God's saying, if you'll get in this book, I will teach you these principles. In fact, Jesus, we're not going there tonight, I don't think. We'll see what happens. When Jesus came to earth, he came to teach the principles. He said, if you can believe and you'll speak to a mountain and believe what you're saying, you command to be thrown in the sea, you'll be uprooted and thrown in the sea like you've spoken. Nothing should be impossible unto you. The power of spiritual principles that have authority over this natural realm. We're just so used to operating out of the natural, we have difficulty believing in the supernatural. But if we will and act on the word, we'll see supernatural results. And so many people are trying to come up with prayer lines. Well, I'm trying to, you know, God, if you heal me, I'll clean the church. We should be doing that anyway. There's a mess in there you can start with. God, if you'll heal me, I'll give a big offering to the church. So you're trying to make a deal with God for something he's already said is yours. Oh, God, if you heal me, I'll never do that transgression again. I'll say 5 Hail Marys or whatever. They think somehow they can make some deal with God for healing or anything else in Scripture. When God's already given to you, the way you get it is not by begging and pleading. Oh, God, won't you please heal me? Oh God, if you were as sick as I am, I'd heal you. If I had the authority, you follow me? Trying to make deals. Beg and plead. Begging prayers don't work.
Right.
You know why? Because your begging demonstrates you don't believe.
Right.
I know this runs contrary to a lot of people's mindsets. But God says, if you do it according to my word, according to what Jesus taught, you'll get the same results.
Yes.
Yet, we try to do it our own way. And I heard this years ago. I've adopted it. The theme song from hell is, I did it my way.
Wow.
You got to find out what God's spoken to do it God's way. God's way, right? So we are to teach faith and the principles of the kingdom. That's one of the primary things we do in here. How can we live by faith? The just shall live by faith. Second Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Start at verse 1, Paul writing to Timothy, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. We are to be able to teach and mentor others how to step into their individual calling and destiny. I believe it was John said this, John the Beloved said, I have no greater joy than to see my children walking in truth. Same with me. I want to see you get a hold of these principles, get a hold of the word, and be out there teaching others. Amen. I really am seeking God. Can't do it now, we're not big enough, but I'd like to see us get to the place where we have cell groups. Because most of you are qualified to teach one. You know enough about faith and the principles of the kingdom and love, covenant. You could be running your own Bible study alone. Following. Anything to the church. And people that may not come in here to hear me right now will probably come to your house to hear you. Amen. instruct others how to step in their individual calling and destiny. Look at I think I want to go to Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, changing direction just here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body. Say one body.
One body.
And one spirit. Even as you are called in one hope of your calling. God's got a calling on every person on earth. And if they're all good. God's not called anybody on earth to be mean, a sinner, a failure. God's called every person on earth. Now to step into it, first you've got to get born again. If you're not born again, you're not going to fulfill your calling. But once you are, then God's going to speak to you about what He wants you to be doing with your giftings, with your grace package to impact the world. And God's got a great calling, a high calling on every person. But if you step into much of the fullness of it, most of the church is content just trying to get by, go to church, be nice, survive until they die. Hopefully go to heaven. God's saying, no. I have sent my Son to make it possible you could be redeemed, rebirthed righteous, anointed with the capacity to transform your entire region.
Amen.
It's available to all of us. I'm pursuing it. How about you? God, use me. How can I be used? Next. James chapter 1. So I'm turning on myself. James chapter 1, verse 27. James writing, this is the half-brother of Jesus. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows of their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. The next one is to provide a benevolent system of support to meet various needs within the body of Christ without producing a socialistic mindset. We're here to help each other. When one suffers, we all suffer. When one's blessed, we're all blessed. So anybody here, I heard Barry share something today I thought was so awesome. He told one of our members, as long as I'm on earth, you'll never be without a place to live, roof over your head, or food on the table.
Awesome.
Don't worry about those things. I got your back.
Amen.
And that's how we are as a church. We have each other's back.
Yes.
But when I said it, but not produce a socialistic mindset, Paul said this, he that won't work, he ain't getting no food.
Yeah.
That's the country boy translation. He's not going to eat. Because Paul, man, he was stern. He was saying, I don't even want you to take a widow into the number unless she's at least 60 years old. We're not here to be enablers. Use this church. If somebody comes in and they need help all the time, but they won't help themselves, no, you're going to have to do this on your own. Well, help to a place, but there comes a time you've got to put your own shoes on, your t-shirt, or whatever. How does it go? Give a man a fish, you'll eat for a day.
Teach a man to fish.
Teach a man to fish, you'll spend everything he's got on tackling boats.
Yeah.
Teach a man to fish, you eat for life.
Yeah.
Of course, if there's some fish to be caught around, right, you can get to it. We can help people, but the help should be combined with teaching them how to live out of the kingdom themselves. Amen. We're being instructed about tithing and sowing, speaking the word. Until that blessed you. I told you to turn to 1 Timothy 5, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me get there. I was in the wrong book. Paul's talking about it here, verse 3. Honor widows that are widows indeed. But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. Now, she that is a widow indeed and does in desolate trusteth in God and continue in supplications, prayers, and prayers night and day. In other words, he's saying, we'll help people that are investing themselves in the kingdom. Widows that are dedicated to God. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. And he goes through even to verse 16 talking about requirements to help people in the church. And I don't know how many times it happens. Probably at least once a month somebody comes into our church with a made-up story about needing help. I think I shared this about Sunday morning. And they go church to church, bounce around. I'm not in the business of helping that.
Okay.
Did I share the story about the trailer house I was asked to help on a few years back? This has been several years ago. I was invited to a pastor's meeting.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to another pastor, super guy, super pastor. And he says, I want to ask if you'd help us with something. There's a man in town who lost his house to a fire. We found a trailer house we can get him for $1,400. I'm asking 14 pastors to donate $100. Will you help? So I said, well, is he in your church? No. Is he in any church? Nothing I know of. And I know this is the Holy Ghost coming on me. It was just word of wisdom or whatever. I said, well, $100 is much money, but I'm not going to give in this situation because I'm not sowing into the curse. He's not pursuing God, seeking God. Curse came on him. It's not my job to bail him out. That was my answer. That may sound hard-hearted, but that was what dropped in me at the moment. I hadn't seen him for some time. Maybe a year later, I ran into him again. And he says, Pastor Jack, I have to tell you, that time I asked you for the $100, you wouldn't give it. I was upset with you. But I asked you to forgive me. I was wrong. He said, we got the 14 pastors to donate $100. We went and bought the trailer for the man, set it up for him on a Friday, went back on Sunday. He was gone, and so was the trailer. And we asked the neighbors about him. He said, oh, he left. He sold the trailer. He left. He was a scammer. That whole thing was a scam. I didn't have a house that burnt. Just a simple story. And so, we're not in the business to help that. We're going to help us to support each other as the body of Christ. Amen. Many of you have been helped by us in the past. Thank you, Jesus. At least many members have. Next. 1 Corinthians 12. I tell you, go to Galatians chapter 3 instead. I'm trying to speed this up to get through it. Galatians chapter 3. You there? Now let's read verse 12. let's back up to verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There's our promises. But he says, doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female. We're all one in Christ. And let me throw this in. There's been a lie spread throughout the church. Hopefully you've not fallen prey to it or you've heard otherwise. And we can certainly help you understand otherwise. Scriptures in the Bible that say women have to be silent in church are twistings of what the Word has said.
Right.
You follow me? Oh, a woman can't teach a man. That's a twisting of Scripture. It's a misinterpretation of the Scripture. Women are equally able to preach, to pastor, to apostle. As any matter of fact, a couple of the apostles mentioned in the Bible were women. There is no division in the body of Christ between men and women as far as what they're allowed to do. Amen. You shared it in here before. We see everybody that comes near as a Christian and know other designations. You follow me on that?
Yeah.
I don't care your background, whether you've been in prison or not, whether you've lived a perfect life all your life. Do you know Jesus? We don't care about your whether you're poor or rich, what nationality or color you are. We don't care. We're one in the body. And we're not going to fall prey to any divisive instruction or whisperings of the devil. So, to create a family environment where each member feels interconnection to the body, and liberty to be freely be who God made them. I need to stick on that for just a minute. I've been in churches, belong to them, where everybody had to speak the same way, dress the same, act the same, how are you, I'm this. You know, you had to put on a facade and you couldn't be yourself. One of the most liberating things that I ever encountered when I read a book called Discover Your God-Given Gifts, about the motivation of gifts. And it showed that each of us were born with different personality traits. No two people were made the same. And I discovered I was made a teacher. That was my motivational gift, an actual prophetic teacher. And discovered that we think different, we see different than other people do. And everybody sees differently, perceives differently. And we make a mistake when we try to step into other people's personality. Did you follow me?
Yeah.
Now you're fortunate in here. You don't have a super spiritual pastor as far as the way I walk and act. Did you follow me?
Yeah.
I'm super spiritual. Gotta ride a Harley. You follow me? And get my hands dirty. And I'm not your traditional pastor you feel like you have to emulate. In fact, me being who I am should free you to be who you are. I want to meet you. I don't want you putting on a facade where I have to act like this and speak like this and, you know, dress like this and like everybody else. No, be you. God made you different. Let's find out who you are. Now, we have an advantage. We got some really characters who you could never get to be somebody else. Barry is going to be Barry. I don't care who else is in the room. I mean, if all of Congress is in the room, he's going to be Barry.
Yes.
I tell you what. When we first started church of light in here and had all these people going on a trip and they're about to meet you. I knew Jerry Seville. They're about to meet him. I instructed everybody, do not go up and start a conversation with Jerry Seville. Everybody wants to. Give him his time. If he wants to start a conversation, he got the world drawn on him. Let him do his thing. You follow me? If he wants to talk to you, he'll talk to you. But don't. He's had people pulling on every which way. First thing, here's Barry. Hey, dude, how you doing? I'm driving Red Star too. Hey, it's Barry. And Jerry loved it. Because Barry was being Barry.
Yeah.
It wasn't somebody trying to be super spiritual.
I dig it.
What's that?
I said, I did, and he loved to talk about color race.
He did, yeah. He was right up his alley, so they're talking the same language. But so many people fall into this trap of trying to be Jesus when they come to church.
Yeah.
Or the pastor. And how many churches I've been in where people dress like the pastor, wear their hair like the pastor.
Yeah.
Try to speak like the pastor, and you have little clones all over the place. You don't want to be me. Amen. And then somebody else in the church, you're not going to get. There's somebody else in the church, you're not going to get to be anybody but themselves. And that's that one right there. She's not put on airs for nobody. Pull her finger, see what happens. Just kidding. Don't do that. She's going to be hurt. And you're not going to put her in a mold. And we all should have that attitude. I'm going to be me. And if they don't like me, they don't appreciate God's ability to create unique people. Amen.
Well, so, different for a reason.
And I love everybody in this church. Not because you're like me. Lord, help us if you were. But you're you. And you're speaking God's love out of your filters of who you are. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Patty's compassion. Here's the thing. You want some fix in your life? Come to me, I'll give you a word to fix you. You just want somebody shoulder to cry? Come to her. Amen. And then she'll let you cry for a little bit and send you to me to fix things in life.
Thank God for pay.
Because I'm not going to let you cry on my shoulder very long. I'm going to say, suck it up, cupcake, here's your order. It's my personality. I need to stick on this just for another minute. Because I've tried for years to be other people. Well, they seem so spiritual there. I'll just try to be like that. And I'd fall flat. It was not intentional, but it was fake. Trying to be somebody else's personality. And I found out I just had to be mine. Amen. And here's an example I use a lot. I need to get beyond this. But you see people that are the natural evangelists. Never met a stranger. You know, I've shared this a lot. That everywhere they go, they're meeting people. I think Linda's like that. Lou's probably like that. Just, we know Charles is like that. Mr. Buckley. Barry's like that.
Yeah.
They can be in the store, Walmart, and say, hey, how you doing to somebody, and then all of a sudden it's their best friend. If I do that, I try, oh, I want to be like that. And I try it, and they think, who's this creep trying to hit on here? It wasn't real. But I do have fun in the stores anyway. I talk to people everywhere I go. I was in the eye doctor yesterday just for a routine exam. And I was sitting in a chair. There's a chair here, and there's two ladies. Two down. They called me back, put the stuff in my eye, I think my eyes sent me back. And I walked back to the same chair myself. I told the ladies, thank you for saving my chair. I really like this chair. They thought it was hilarious. The lady across the aisle in another chair saying, somebody tried to take it, but they wouldn't let them have it. We had a whole conversation started about saving that chair. So then we started saving each other's chairs wherever they would go. We didn't, but we just told them we saved it. Anyway, that's my personality reflected. Let's just enjoy the day. Be you is the whole point. And then turn to John chapter 5. I'm sorry, John chapter 2. Here's a profound verse of Scripture. There's this wedding, Cana of Galilee, they've run out of wine. Jesus' mother says, you need to do something. He says, it's not my time. What do you want me to do? She didn't listen to that. She turns to the people and says this. Look at verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The final one on this list, really next to the final one, is do whatever else God tells us to do. If God shows up and he tells us to start a food bank, we'll have a food bank. If he says start a Christian school, we'll start a Christian school. That's going to take an audible voice of God for me to do that. You follow me? He told us to start community ambassadors a few years back. Actually, 8 years ago now. Which we're going to get back on as we get settled. We're going to start that again. Whatever he says, do it. Including Friday night all-night prayer, because he told us to do that. Visually. Excuse me. He's not lifted that request yet. Or directive. And one final one. 2 Thessalonians. Are you getting anything out of this? See, this is more than about just showing up at church. There's assignments on our life, on this body. And those who are really all in and want to manifest the glory will embrace those assignments. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Oh, this is the wrong verse. That's not the one I wanted. I wrote down the wrong verse. Anyway, the disciples, when Paul went to Jerusalem after 14 years of ministry, he went to Jerusalem to lay before them his doctrine. He was teaching about righteousness. He wanted to make sure he wasn't off track. The disciples said, you're teaching the right thing. And he says, I'm not having the Gentiles, when they get saved, I'm not having them get circumcised. They're not following the law. They're following the Holy Spirit. And they said, what you're hearing is correct. However, be sure you don't eat meat that's been strangled or partake of blood, and be sure to feed the poor. So one of the things we do is we help people that are poor. We supply us where we can. We're not enablers, but we'll help people. Mm-hmm. And the primary way we help people is through seed. We fund ministries feeding the poor, including Amen House. We support every month because they know how to vet people.
Yeah.
We don't have time to vet all the people coming here wanting help. So I say we support the Amen House. Go see them. And usually they walk away dejected because they know they've already been trying to scam them and it wasn't accepted. But we do have a responsibility to consider those that are less fortunate. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these assignments. We receive them. We embrace them. We walk in them wholeheartedly. Point out ones of these, Lord God. You'd have us focus on each individually. Let's make it a point to develop that mindset, that gifting in our life. We thank you. We declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain, none oppressed, none in fear. There's no lack of any form You supply everything we need according to your riches and glory. There's no strife, envy, jealousy, or backbiting. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.